Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The verse of scripture that would be our text for tonight as we continue our series entitled The Touch of the Master's Hand is, of course, verse 14 of Luke chapter 7. And he came, that is the Lord Jesus, and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Luke is the only evangelist to record this miracle, the miracle of the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. Of the three people that the Lord raised from the dead, it is quite possible that the raising of the widow's son was the first. The others were Jairus' daughter. And of course, he called and summoned Lazarus from the dead. Now when you look at the raising of these three individuals from the dead, there are a number of interesting facts about these incidents. First of all, consider the person whom death had claimed, according to Luke 8 and verse 42. The daughter of Jairus was his only daughter. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. And we see from our reading tonight that the young man whom Christ raised from the dead was the only son of this widow, an only daughter, an only son. And Lazarus, we would believe, was the only brother of Martha and Mary, the only daughter, the only son, and an only brother. Death had claimed them all. And how dearly those individuals would have been loved by their families. The father and mother would have loved their only daughter. Two sisters would have loved their only brother. And a mother, yea, a widowed mother, would have loved her only son. And yet death, as a thief, had come and stolen them away. This reminds us that death will take from us that which we cherish and hold dear. Death is a thief. We notice something else about these persons. Notice their ages. Jairus' daughter, we are told, was only 12 years of age. The widow of Nain's son is described in our reading as a young man. The word refers to a young man in the prime of life. And Lazarus, well, we would believe Lazarus to be a mature man. And here is another solemn lesson for us to remember, that death is no respecter of persons. The hand of death is not stayed by the youthfulness of an individual. The hand of death is not stayed by the vigor or vitality of a person. Young or old, rich or poor, death cares not. When and had been asked to conduct a funeral service. When I've stood at the open grave of an individual who has passed away, I've often called upon those who stood around, when they leave the cemetery, to look at the headstone as they go out. And notice how death is so indiscriminate. Look at the ages of the people whom death claims. Their ages vary. Some of them died when they were very young. This reminds us that sinners need to prepare for that day of death, because no one knows when that day will come. 12-year-old guy, a young man, a mature man, had been claimed by death. Then there's something else. Notice the place where death had taken them when the Lord met with them. Jairus' daughter. When the Lord raised her up, Jairus' daughter was at home, lying there on her deathbed. The widow woman's son was in his casket on his way to the grave. And where was Lazarus? Why, Lazarus was already in the grave. He'd been there 4 days. One was on her deathbed, the other was in the casket, and the other was in the grave. And it didn't matter where they were, that when the Lord Jesus confronted death, whether it was in a home, or in a casket, or in a grave, Jesus Christ was always victorious. Christ was always the conqueror. Wherever the Lord encountered death, he was able to raise up the dead. That reminds us of the power of the Prince of Life. Whenever or wherever Christ met the last enemy, he always conquered it. Whoever he met that had succumbed to the last enemy, the Lord was able to retrieve them. As a victor in a battle claims the spoils of battle. And here we have these two great processions that met at the gates to the city of Nain. One was the procession of death, and the other was the procession of life. And they came face to face. But the battle didn't last for very long, because Christ was the conqueror, and conquered the last enemy in a moment. When the Master reached out and touched the buyer, the touch of the Master's hand once again was victorious. And here again we have the touch of the Master's hand. And as we look at this incident, it took place outside the gate, the city of Nain. That which strikes us immediately is the tenderness of the Master. Look at the words of verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. There's the tenderness of the Master. Once he saw her, he had compassion on her. Mark the words where we commenced our reading. And it came to pass the day after. The day after. The day after what? The day after the Lord Jesus had healed the centurion's servant who was sick and ready to die, verse 2 of Luke 7. And so the day before the Lord had healed, had rescued the centurion's servant who was sick and ready today to die, and now it's the day after. The day after that wonderful event, and the Lord Jesus once more performs another act of mercy. Day after day after day, the Lord Jesus performed these acts of mercy. Even in the midst of his lamentation, Jeremiah confessed, saying this, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." His mercies are new every morning, day after day after day. The Lord Jesus, as it were, scatters his mercy. And every one of us here, day after day after day, have received of the Lord's mercy. There's not a day goes by that we do not enjoy the mercies of the Lord. They are new every morning. Notice first of all, when the Lord Jesus came face to face with this funeral procession on this particular day, notice that he saw the widow. And when the Lord saw her, Luke tells us that the Lord had much people with him, verse 11. Luke also tells us in verse 12 that the widow had much people with her. And the two great processions met at the entrance to the city of Nain. And it was whenever the two processions met that the Lord saw her. I want you to notice his arrival upon the scene. Some might say, what a coincidence. What a coincidence. The Lord Jesus leading a great procession of people towards the city of Nain, and at the same time coming out of the city of Nain, there's another procession, a funeral procession, and the two processions meet. What a coincidence. The only coincidence that is here is an event that coincided with the Lord's plan and purpose and providence. The psalmist has said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. When we look at this event at the city of Nain, we can say the steps of the God-man are ordered by the Lord. And so the Lord came upon this scene, at exactly the right moment. It wasn't by chance. It wasn't by coincidence that he was there. The Lord had planned to be there. He was there at exactly the right moment. Consider this. Where had the Lord been the day before when he healed the centurion's servant? He was in Capernaum. How far is Capernaum from Nain? It is 25 miles. And the day before, the Lord Jesus was 25 miles away. And the day after, he's exactly at the right place, at the right time, at the right moment. What would have happened if he had been a minute late? The funeral procession would have passed. And who knows, the young man may have already been placed in the grave. What would have happened if he had been a moment early? Well, he would have passed by the funeral. It would not have reached the gate where the Lord was. What happened if the Lord Jesus, after traveling 25 miles, had entered into Nain by some other way, or gone in through some other gate? He didn't. Here's the Lord. He arrives upon the scene at exactly the right time. Not a moment early. Not a moment late. Spurgeon once said, the Lord Jesus is punctual to the tick of the clock. Just at the right time. And for this widow, the Lord arrived upon the scene at the right moment. And this is how he deals with his people. This is how the Lord deals with his people. He answers our prayers. The answer comes at the right time. Not a day early or not a day late. His acts of providence are always timely. And his arrival at this place. Dear child of God, as you pray and seek the Lord with regard to some matter, and the Lord hasn't answered that prayer as yet, the Lord is waiting for his time. And when he answers, it will be like the Lord arriving upon this scene. He will answer at the right. Not only do we have his arrival upon the scene, but his attention was upon the sorrowing. Once again we behold the tenderness of Christ, for we read, when the Lord saw her, verse 13. There was much people, as we pointed out with him, there was much people with her. Yet the Lord's eyes were fixed upon this widow woman. He saw her. His eyes were not upon the multitude. His eyes were upon an individual. His eyes naturally turned towards the weeping widow. He was interested in her. He was interested in the sorrowing mother. Because he was the man. You know, I was thinking, another reason, perhaps, for the Lord fixing his gaze upon this woman was because the Lord Jesus himself had a sorrowing mother. Mary was a sorrowing mother. And when Mary sorrowed, it was because she thought she had lost her son. And the Lord Jesus was 12 years of age, and Joseph and Mary went up to the temple, as they did every year. And after the ceremony, they left to return to Nazareth. And lo and behold, the Lord Jesus was not in their company. And it took them 3 days before they found him. And Mary came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Mary was a sorrowing mother. And so the Lord Jesus in many ways was able to identify with the widow woman of Nain. She was a sorrowing mother. And so, dear mother, tonight, you who are sorrowing because you have lost a son or a daughter to the world, the Lord sees your tears, as he saw the tears of this mother. He saw her. His eyes were on her. And you sorrow, dear mother, tonight, because perhaps you've lost a son or a daughter to drink or to drugs. It was almost as if they're dead to you, the way you sorrow. Christ sees you. Christ has his eyes upon you. He sees your tears. He knows all about your tormented heart. Just to know that someone else knows is a great comfort to us. And to know that Jesus knows, and to know that Jesus sees us in our sorrow, is a great comfort. Even as Isaiah said, "He shall grow up as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." The Lord Jesus is of a tender heart. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as James tells us, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. The tenderness. Not only does he see the widow, but he sympathized with the widow. The sight of the sorrowing woman touched the heart of the Savior. For again we read in verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." He sympathized with her. He had compassion. We know that in the Gospel, we read again and again of the Lord Jesus having compassion on individuals. It's interesting to note that in the Gospels there are 5 different occasions. Some of them are repeated by the evangelist, but there are 5 different occasions when the Lord Jesus had compassion on people. And each time he had compassion, the people had lost something. He had compassion on them because they had lost something. Here he has compassion on this with a woman because she is lost. She has lost her son and she has lost her husband. And we are told that he had compassion on her. In Matthew 9 verse 36, We read that the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitude. And what had they lost? The Lord Jesus tells us that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They lost their shepherd. He had compassion on them. After he had healed the demoniac of Gadara, Legion wanted to go with the Lord. But the Lord said to him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and have had compassion on thee. The multitudes had lost the shepherd. The widow woman had lost sons. And Legion had lost his senses. He was the madman of the day. Nobody could do a thing with him. When the Lord Jesus saw the leper, as we noted a few weeks ago, Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him. What had the leper lost? He had lost his place in society. He was an outcast. As well as losing his health, he'd lost his place in society. And so the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. And then later the Lord walked through the city of Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho, there by the roadside sat two men. Yes, there were two. Another man was blind Bartimaeus. And we are told that the Lord had compassion on them. What have they lost? It's obvious they've lost their sight. And the widow woman had lost her son. The Lord was moved with compassion on these individuals because they lost. And the Lord Jesus looked at the widow woman of Nain, he saw her problem and saw something else. He saw and he felt her pain. See, the pain that this widow woman was suffering was like none other. She had lost her only son. And he who is touched with his feelings of our infirmities was touched by the pain that this woman was suffering. And I say that it was a pain like none other. Because you see, in God's word, when the Lord wanted to describe an unbearable pain, he would speak about the pain that was suffered by a mother who lost her only son. Jeremiah 6 and verse 26. Zechariah, turn to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. And there we read in verse 10, and here this verse has to do with Christ himself. Zechariah 12 and verse 10, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. What will their mourning be like? They shall mourn as one mourneth for his only son. And shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And the Lord knew that. And he knew what this widow was suffering. He knew all about her pain. He knew that she had lost her husband. He knew that she had lost her son. And he knew also that he was suffering an unbearable pain. What a blessing it is to have and to know the sympathizing Savior. Once more, draw attention to the fact that there were many people with the widow, and there were many people with Christ. There was a multitude of people. And while she had many with her, there was really only one person with her that mattered. And that was Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus Christ knew what that woman was suffering. Only he. And only Christ could enter into her feeling, touched with the feeling of our. And the word touch there refers to the Lord Jesus God. When we suffer the pain that comes with losing a loved one, the Lord Jesus feels it as well. That's what it is to have Christ. Sympathy. Touched with this woman's sorrow. Notice how all of his attention was upon her. Look at verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. All of his attention was upon this woman. He saw her. He sympathized with her. And he spoke to her. He saw, he sympathized, and then he spoke. Notice the order. You know what that tells us? That tells us that the Lord Jesus never speaks out of turn. He saw, sympathized, and then spoke. And said, weep not. There used to be an elder in church in Newton Abbey where I once ministered, Mr. John Stewart. He passed away before I became the minister, but it was said of John Stewart, he would think twice and speak once. Here's the Lord Jesus, and he speaks at the right time. He saw, he sympathized, and then he spoke. And what did he say? He said to the widow, weep not. You know, the Lord Jesus always had a good reason for saying to individuals, weep not. When we see someone weeping, we may put our arm around them and say, don't cry. Don't go weeping. And we say that just simply because we don't like to see them cry. Really, we can't do anything about it.
But when the Lord Jesus says, weep not, He says those words for a very good reason, because He's able to do something about it. The Lord is really saying, weep not, because I have a remedy for the reason for your weeping. And he went into the house of Jairus. And there all the mourners were. They were all lamenting. And there was crying. And there was weeping. And there was wailing. The Lord Jesus went in and said, weep not. You don't need to weep. There's a reason for the Lord saying that. Because he went on to say to the mourners, weep not, she is not dead, she's only sleeping. So you don't need to weep. See, the Lord had solved the problem. There was no need to weep. The day of resurrection, Mary Magdalene stayed behind when the others had left. She stood sobbing, crying her heart out. Because, as far as she was concerned, someone had taken away her Lord. And she didn't know where that led him. And the Lord, standing behind her, said, why weep? Mary, you don't need to weep. I'm here. And when he called her name and said, Mary, she turned and said, Rabboni. And he dried her tears. And so it was with this woman. When the Lord Jesus spoke to her, he was able to dry her tears. You've no need to weep because I will solve your problem. Psalmist has said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And while it was near the end of the day for this woman, yet when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, it was like morning. That's the Lord we love. The Lord we serve. And dear mother, as you weep over that son or that daughter who was still in their sin, the Lord Jesus says, weep not. I'll take care of the problem. The tenderness of the Master, and then you have the touch of the Master. After the Lord spoke to the weeping widow, we are told that he came and touched the bier. There you have his action. You know, there's something quite remarkable about the Lord's action. Many things are remarkable about it. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. Once the Lord Jesus saw her, he responded immediately. This touch of the Master's hand was the spontaneous intervention of the Redeemer. For you see, on other occasions, he was applied to by the disease. The blind man cried out to him and said, Lord, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. And the Lord responded to that cry. On other occasions, the friends of the diseased would bring their diseased friend to Christ, like the man sick of the palsy. And the Lord Jesus responded to that. Last week we noted how the Lord went into the house of Peter's mother-in-law, and anon they tell him of her, and he responded. But look at this incident. There's not a word that is recorded here that came from the lips of this widow, or anyone else for that matter. The Lord's response to this woman's situation was the spontaneous response of the Lord Jesus to what he saw. To what he saw. Not to what anybody had said, but to what he saw. He saw a woman in great distress, and he responded coming and touching the buyer. And you know, believer, our Savior does that all the time. The Lord does that for us all the time. Oh yes, I know. He has told us that we're to ask and we shall receive. And we have done that and we have received. But what about those times that we have received from the Lord and we haven't asked? What about those times that the Lord has intervened in our lives and we haven't even asked? It's been the spontaneous response of the Lord to our situation. Oh, we have a loving Savior. He had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and he touched the buyer. How many things are we constantly receiving from the Lord without any asking of our own? And many times has the Lord intervened in our lives, even when we haven't asked, and he has intervened because he saw our situation and he responded out of it. And a love for us. His action and his arrest. Notice what happened when the buyer was touched by the master's hand. We're told, and they that bare him stood still. The funeral procession was halted. The buyer and its occupant were arrested. They couldn't go a step further. The Lord had intervened. My, had someone else intervened. Can you imagine what would have happened that day if someone else, someone in that vast crowd had come and put his hand on the coffin? Christ intervened. There wasn't a word of opposition raised. Everyone waited. Funeral procession came to a standstill. They couldn't see what was coming, but they stood still and waited. And what they would see that day, what they would see that day would be the salvation of the Lord. Not what Moses said to Israel when they came to the Red Sea. Moses said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And that funeral procession that day stood still. And lo and behold, every man and woman in that vast crowd of people saw the salvation of the Lord. When he he saved this young man from going down to the grave. Take heart, dear child of God. There's hope in the touch of the Master's hand. And the Master is able to touch that one who is in his or her deadness of sin. My, when the Lord touches them, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Notice his authority. When the Lord touched the buyer, he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Oh, with what authority he spoke to the dead. Notice his lordship. It's interesting that Luke here refers to the Savior as the Lord. Verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her," none of the other evangelists uses this title. Only Luke, when he's talking about the Savior, the Lord. So the one who spoke that day was the Lord. He is the Lord of life. He's the Lord over death. Yea, he is the Lord of lords. He's Lord over all. And when he stood that day, looking into that casket, Jesus Christ the Lord conquered death and raised up this young man. "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He was speaking as the Lord of lords. But notice further. Notice his language. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He didn't say, "Young man, arise." No, he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He spoke in his own name. "I say unto thee, arise." Jesus Christ spoke in his own name, and what a name is that which conquers death. What did Peter say to the man who lay at the beautiful gate of the temple? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, what a name is that, that is able to conquer disease and conquer death. And again, when the 70 disciples returned after evangelizing, the work of evangelism, what did they say to the Lord? In Luke 10 and verse 17, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And oh, what a name is that, that not only conquers death and disease, but conquers the devils as well. No wonder we love to sing those words of Charles Wesley, "Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly." The all-conquering. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him, crown him, crown him, Lord of all.
finally you have the triumph of the Master. For we read, the Lord said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up. Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what that was like for those that were round about? That liar, seeing a dead man sitting up. It's likely to scare the life out of people. But not only did he sit up, he spoke. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And I like these words. And he delivered him. First of all, you have there the resurrection. The Lord Jesus did what Ezekiel had done many years before. The Lord had spoken unto the dead. Ezekiel had been commanded by the Lord to speak unto the valley of dry bones. And the Lord said, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. The Lord God who spoke, and the Lord God was standing at the gates of men. The Lord God was standing there. It was the Lord God who spoke to the dead and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And the Lord breathed life into him and raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And then you have the reunion. He delivered him unto his mother. What a reunion. And what reunions will be in heaven. What sons will be united with mothers in heaven. What daughters will be reunited with fathers in heaven? All because of the touch of the Master's hand. And notice the recognition. Verse 16, and there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. God has visited his people. I tell you, that's what we need. The visitation of God. If God would visit his people in this day in which we live, the dead would be raised to life. Those who are spiritually dead and on their way to hell, on their way to a sinner's grave, they also feel the touch of the Master's hand. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, once more we rejoice in the touch of the Master's hand, for we have experienced that touch. And we who were once dead, and indeed being carried down that broad road to hell, we rejoice we have experienced the touch of the Master's hand. And we who were dead now live. Now in Christ we have life eternal and life more abundant. O Lord, write thy truth upon our hearts. May we go home tonight rejoicing in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And may others experience the touch of the Master's hand. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Abide and remain with us now and until that great day when we see the King in all His glory.